Moshe, the machlokas in Yerushalmi until this point. There is one shita that says there is. Okay. There's one shita that says that that the mahomach locus hatanoim is over whether or not you made whether or not it only is when you're going to have bread when you're not having bread afterwards. When you're having bread afterwards, everybody would agree that I'm sorry, but if you're not having bread afterwards, everybody agrees you have to make a minshiv. I hope let me say that again right. The homach locus is when there is going to be bread afterwards. And the way we understood it, it meant that you're not making a bracha achrona. But if you're going to be making a bracha achrona afterwards, everybody agrees that you have to make on the min shiva. And the way the two ways of explaining that are either because there should be a connection between what you make the bracha rishon on and what you make the bracha achrona on, because either way you're going to make a bracha achrona of halei tzva priya eitz. Therefore, you'd rather be making the bracha rishona on the min shiva that's being mechayev that, because the eitz tzva priya eitz patters the non shiva samina fruits. The alternative is to understand that no, that if you eat an apple and you eat a date and you make the bari priates on the apple, then you make a bar nefashas afterwards and you don't make an alei tzviel priate. And therefore, since we really want you to make, and in the time of the Yushami, maybe you would make no bracha achrona, because the bracha achrona you might have made at certain points in the Yushami, and in the Babli for that matter, after an apple would have been
nothing.
Lo klum. And therefore, if you end up making the bari priates on the apple, you might wind up not making any bracha achrona, and therefore that's why everybody agrees that you need to make al the min shiva. Okay, so ad kan was the way we understood Pnei Moshe, and then the way Pnei Moshe understood the Yerushalmi, and then Rabbi Abba disagrees. We don't know exactly Rabbi Abba's sheet is, but Rabbi Abba holds that when you eat fruits before the meal, you must make a bracha achrona under all circumstances, even if you're eating bread afterwards. And therefore, that cannot be the source of the machlokas between Rabbi and the Chachamim, because everybody would agree in principle that you're going to be making a bracha achrona. So the fact that the Chachamim don't require you to make the bracha on the min shiva, but they allow you to make it on the chaviv, that means, therefore, that the fact that it's not at all tied to the bracha achrona. What do the Chachamim hold? It could be they hold under all circumstances you're still going to make halo eitz ve'al priya eitz, and they don't care that the bracha achrona be tied to the bracha rishona, or could be they don't care. If you make a bracha on the apple, you just don't, and you don't make it on the date, maybe you don't have to make a bracha achrona. That's just the way it is. If that apple is more chaviv to you, that's an effect. It's almost like the apple becomes an ikar, and the date is a tafel, and you make the bracha on the ikar, not on the tafel, and bracha achrona be darned. That might be the way it is. Then, what? Now, there's the next line in the Yerushalmi is the part that's very, very odd. It's not that the line is odd, it's the Pnei Moshe's interpretation is exceedingly difficult. The next line, somebody read for me, Amar Rabbi Abba, V'tzarech Levarach B'Sof, the second time they quote him. Oh, that's the earlier one, I think. Go to the second one, if I'm not mistaken. Rabbi Abba, V'tzarech Levarach B'Sof. Okay, stop. So Rabbi Abba says, we saw Tzarech Levarech B'Sof, that even though you're going to eat bread after you've had these fruits, you still have to make a bracha achrona first. Lo birach, what if he didn't make a bracha? What if you washed and you made hamotzi, and you hadn't made a bracha achrona, what would the din be then? Nases tefela. The taninan tamam, kol shor yikam yim tefela, mevarach yikam partas tefela. What does it sound like the Yerushalmi is saying? What would the din be according to Rabbi Abba? You were supposed to make a bracha achrona, but you didn't. So what would the din be? What would you say? Any opinions? I would say that once you didn't, so there's an ikar and a tefela here, and the birchas hamazon is going to exempt you from having to make a main shalosh. David? So your question is what seemed to have bothered, I think, the Pnei Moshe and caused him to give an exceedingly forced interpretation. I think the answer is, what is the din if you have an ikar and a tefela and you make a bracha rishon on the ikar and you pata the tefela? What bracha or chorna do you make? Bracha chorna for the ikar. So really, it carries through if you think about it, right? That's not a chiddush. We don't often say that, but it's not a chiddush. If you have, let's say you assume, okay, reopening any discussions, you assume you have a cracker and you have some schmaltzy herring on it, and you have the cracker to hold the herring, to make the herring more palatable, what bracha do you make? You make a shahakal. It's a din. You make a shahakal. What bracha achrona do you make? You make a bar nefashas. You don't make an ala mechet. So what I'm telling you is that it may be, it's possible that the Shita Chachamah, I suggested this within Rabbi Abba, the Shita Chachamah working with this, that when you have boy pre-eats and you make a boy pre-eats on one of the two fruits, that fruit becomes the ikar. And therefore the bracha achrona goes only on that fruit. So in this case, what it sounds like Rabbi Abba is saying to me is that if you didn't make the bracha achrona main shalosh, comes along berachas hamazon, and it's going to pat to the main shalosh. Okay, so you should have made the bracha achrona. You didn't. Move on. Now, the Pnei Moshe, however, seems to have been bothered by your question that that's dafka by bracha rishona. So the truth is, what would the din have been if you had the bread first and then you wanted to have the fruit, according to this Yushami? It sounds like you would have patted the fruit. The fruit was part of the meal. Okay, even though normally pears are not part, in this case, the fruit was part of the meal. You would have patted it. It's just that you ate the pears first, so you had to make a bracha rishona, because asa la'adam shenam la'olam b'lo bracha. Okay? Fine. So the Pnei Moshe, however, offers the following interpretation. Let's read it, actually. The first one is, I don't think he even likes, is to read it as a bitmiya. Okay, but if you look at the second interpretation of the Pnei Moshe, he says the following, Inami yesh lefaresh, the hailo birech nasis tvela, lav kushahi. It's not a question. Ela adarabba, taima lemilse de Rabbi Abba, masiku Rabbi Yose. In other words, he's giving the explanation for Rabbi Abba Shita. Klomar, the lahachi kam ashutzarach levarach aleim b'sof. You know why you have to make a bracha achrona before you make hamotzi v'afilu kishedato lechal pas mishum dechi lo kachu she'em birech al zeh amin nase hapas tefela lo v'shuvein tzarach levarach al hapas. Because if you did make a bracha achrona, the pas would be tafel to the fruit that you just ate, okay? And some of your eyes should be popping out now, what? Okay, and therefore, you would not make a bracha on the pas, and the chayvan v'lo mevarech klal pas ain't kan birchas hamazon shetehei poteres, and then you won't have a birchas hamazon which paters the bracha achrona on the fruit. V'hilkach la'olam tzarach levarech achareim b'self. V'havei mamish kahay detanina lekaman kol shu ikar umimah v'tveh potzer the poteres apas shapas tveh lo. He's bothered by your question, David, but what he says makes no sense. Firstly, I'll give a simple response. Okay, so do that. So you had your boy prates, the pas is tvelelo, you don't make bracha hamazon, so you make a bracha at the end. What's the problem? You make a main shalosh at the end. Why would that be so bad, number one? Number two, it's ridiculous. The pas is not tvelelo to the fruit. That's what's ridiculous about this approach. In other words, he's motivated by your question. Noble motivations, but it doesn't work. To say the pas is tvelelo to the fruit? So that's why I think that the simple reading is what I said to you before, which is, the notion of ikar and tefela applies to bracha achrona as well. So in this particular case, you had to make a bracha rishon on the fruits because you ate them first. But the bottom line, at the end of the day, the tafel to the bread, the bracha achrona is going to exempt that. And Rabbi Abba felt that no, that since you ate the fruit separately, the chatchila, you're supposed to make a main shalosh and close off that part. If you didn't, no, you didn't, so lebeirach nasas tefela lo, and you don't make a main shalosh. But the chatchila, you're supposed to make a bracha achas. It's not that Rabbi Yossi is trying to explain Rabbi Abba's din. He's now clarifying a very important point. What happens if you didn't? What happens if you didn't? That's the next step. You didn't make the bracha achrona. Did you make one even later? The answer is no. Now, the truth is, this particular approach, and I don't know what the Yushalmi is going to say later about this din, is a little odd. Does birchas hamazon pata you from bracha achrona when you're supposed to make a different bracha achrona? It doesn't. No, it doesn't in the following sense. What's the din if they bring, let's say they masalik the shulchan and they bring you dessert. They bring you out a nice chocolate roll. They bring you out a nice fruit thing with dates in it. What bracha, what do you do? Bracha rishon achrona. And so you see, now again, you could argue, I guess that maybe not, maybe the question is the same din. Firstly, you see that in the middle of the meal you could still make a different bracha achrona. My presumption is, I could be wrong, is that you make the bracha achrona before you make bracha samazon. I don't know if I'm correct on that, that's what I assume. Now the question would be, what if you made bracha samazon first? I don't know what the din is there, Taka. So the truth is, in this case, it sounds from the Yushalmi, that lechatchila, you're going to make berachas. Once you washed, you're going to make berachas hamazon and knock off the main shalosh. You know, why, now who's not to say that maybe even after you wash, as long as you haven't made berachas hamazon first, you can make the main shalosh? I don't know, David.
Well, I mean, I guess this is probably a large discussion, but what about the reverse? I mean, would you say that berachas hamazon shalosh halamichya is
the right enough that you say it? This is machlokas harishonim about the machlokas harishonim with brachas main shalosh is the raisa. There are certainly rishonim, I believe, who would say that menatora you yotze the chiyuv of berachas hamazon with the main shalosh. However, it's clear that midrabanan we wouldn't say that you pater because it's not the matbeah shetavu chacham. They required shalosh brachas and you didn't make shalosh brachas. So midaraisa, if you assume not like the Ramban, well, I mean, I don't know what the Ramban holds here exactly. If you assume that the three elements have the raisa status once they were instituted, let's say lo masarna kasa l'chachamim, if you assume they have the raisa status, I would assume midaraisa you still be yotze with halamechia. Now, if you take the drasha as a real drasha of uvachatav savat uvachta ze berachas hazan as asher lachach al aretz hatova ze berachas aretz asher nasan lach ze berachas Yerushalayim. If you take that really seriously, so I think you would still say an alamichim midaraisa should pater you, right? Because the matbeah shel brachos is midrabanan. The themes, the requirement to thank God over food, land, and Yerushalayim might be deraisa, but the specific matbeah is going to be the rabbanan. So. But lemais it's not going to pater you because it's not my be'ashat tavach hachamim. Jeremy.
One of these approaches not from the first approach of the promotion. How do you understand the tzarich levarich b'sof?
No, the point is tzarich levarich b'sof. It's because they're going on to elaborate on his statement. It's initially the statement was quoted just as a foil to Rabbi Shimon Levi. Now the Gemara, the Yerushalmi, repeats it because it wants to add on the qualifier. Lo beirach
b'sof? So is that his... What is...
Who said that? I don't know.
What is Rabbi Abba's statement?
I don't... it may only be v'tzarech l'varech b'sof. That may be the Yerushalmi speaking.
If that's all he's saying, right, isn't that a pretty strong statement that wouldn't allow for a b'diavad clause?
No. Tzarech l'varech b'sof. You're supposed to.
Meaning, and that there's no repercussion for not being a bracha b'sof.
You made a bracha called lalas the berachas hamazon, so maybe not.
This seems like a strong lashon to use for that application.
Whether it's his statement or not, or the Yerushalmi speaking, either way, they're assuming it's not such a strong statement. They assume it's not strong enough to create, you know.
Well, assuming it's not bitmira.
Yes.
Meaning that might be what's compelling the Pemosha's first reading.
Okay, I hear. Fine. Can we go on to dessert now? Funny dessert. Okay, continue reading, Jason. Grazimta. Grizamta. That's a great pasuk for translation, by the way. I didn't mention this yesterday. Al tigzol dal, ki dalhu. Don't steal from a poor person because he's poor. That's like Willie Sutton's line. Why do you rob banks? Because that's where the money is. Don't rob a poor person because he's poor. Not much to rob. No, okay. Obviously, that's not pshuto shemekum, but that's key. That could be key because, or the question is whether it's a subordinate clause. Don't rob a poor person just because he's poor, which means, and you can take advantage of him. That's what the pasuk really means. It doesn't mean don't rob a poor person because he's poor. But if you're rich, it'd be okay to rob him. It's addressing a hava meaning, you think to take advantage of a poor person, right? When the Torah says, "Kol almanavi yasom lo se'anun," Rashi says this, I think, in Chumash. When the Torah says that you should not afflict an orphan and a widow, it's not that it's mutter to afflict a person who's not an orphan and a widow. It's also an issur d'oraisa. It's just dibur hakasa behoveh. Who do people typically take advantage of? Those who are, it's easy to take advantage of, right? Who do you pick a fight with? You don't go over to the, you know, when you go over to the, you know, you go across the street to the pizza shop and you pick on someone, you pick on some, you know, 5'2" MTA freshman, you know, and you want to rob his lunch money. You don't go over to the 6'7" guy who plays center for the Mac, for Maccabees, and say, give me your lunch money. It's like, right?
Probably a sharpshooter in
the
Israeli
Army. Right. Yeah. So anyways, al tigzal dal ki dalhu means don't rob him just because he's poor and you can get away with it.
Whether you agree or not, it's just fruits or also other types of things as
Yes, it does. But I'll assume for the moment that the Grizamta, I'll take the Tafas the Mord approach. It has Hadama and Hayitz in it. Let's assume it. Or it has Hadama and other Minim in it, which are Hadama. The Mord Susa are certainly Hadama. It's got Hadama in it. That's the one thing you know. The question is. Yes, but you don't know. In other words, it could be that all Hadamas in there, and the Turmasin is Pater, or it could be the Turmasin are Pater and Aetis too. There's no way of knowing. You're asking maybe there's fruit in there. Okay, yes. So Eyal is pointing out that depending upon what's in the Grizamta, how does the Penny Moshe take it? If there's fruit in there, then the implication of Mevarech al Turmusa is that you're Patering Bari Priya 8 simply by making a bracha on something that's Bari Priya Dhamma. Now you remember, that's the issue that we've discussed a number of times, even though the Mishnah says that if Beirach al Peros 8 Bari Priya Dhamma Yatza, so most of the Rishonim are going to say, certainly the Maskanas Ababli appears to be, that it's Dafka when you make the Bari Priya 8, a Bari Priya Dhamma, on the fruit. If you make the Bari Priya Dhamma on a vegetable, and now you want to eat a fruit, so we assume you have to make eight. We assume they have to make eights. So you can't tell. We don't know what's in this Grizamta actually. The Pnei Moshe says what? He doesn't say. He's smart. He avoids it. Okay? He says there are other minim in it. We don't know what other kind of minim. So we don't know if it's Hadama for the Yushalmi Patrim and Ha'etzes, or if it's Hadama and you're making, which Hadama are you making the bracha on, but it's a bunch of Hadamas in there. I would bet he doesn't know. It's possible. But the problem is, if there's one thing that's clear, is that there's lupine in it. That's for sure. So translating as dried fruits would be insufficient. Unless you assume that it's brought out along with the turmusa. If you assume it's really dried fruit in there, then that really does provide us with this sheet, which, of course, you know, I'd love to jump up. Again, the question is what evidence he has to it. In other words, you have to know when you're reading Jastro, is it based upon knowledge of some type of Greek? See, I bet you that we don't. Maybe I shouldn't say this, Ben. You don't bari lamina, do you? No. The question is whether Grizamta appears anywhere else in rabbinic literature. If it appears only here, and it's probably not a Greek word, it's probably an Aramaic word, so then there's simply no way of knowing. It becomes a circular. Whatever you decide, however you decide to interpret the Yushalmi, is what you're going to say that Grizamta is. What a chaim does even in citations?
First he calls it Agarzuta.
Okay.
It's a nibbling dessert, mostly fruits.
What sources does he have?
Because I wish they had made me the Lord like dessert, which at least is served up at the end.
Okay. Okay, that doesn't prove to us what's in it. That just shows you it's at the end of a meal, yeah? What other say?
Well, it has your Shalmi Brava. Here. It's Aramaic Garuz Mata equals a parparet.
Okay, so I don't know if we have any evidence to actually what's in it. So the possibilities have to be considered. We're just not going to know. You know, as disappointing as that may be. Okay. Fine. Rev Yirmiya. Fine. Oh, so we read that part already. Fine. So now the Yerushalmi adds on this. Because, I mean, this was a separate discussion. But Ad Kedon. Go ahead. B'sheyesh. Alobida. Not in this case. So this is only the case that you make the bracha on the turmusin. This might prove that there's fruit in there. This should prove that there's fruit in there, actually. There's a bari priyates in there. Explain why in a second. This is only true if you're going to have more bread. If you go bedanto lechel pas, which I think means more bread, because assuming the grizamta is at the end of a meal, it means you've had bread already. So it's only true if you intend to eat more bread. But lo hayi bedato lecha pas, lo beda. Then what? Then what would you do? You wouldn't. You wouldn't. You make it on something else. Now, why would you make it on something else? Something that has a bracha achrona from the Grizamta. Right, going back to the exact same thing that was being said earlier in the sugya. Right, what's that?
Are you bringing in as a question?
No.
It's brought in as a question, they're saying.
No, it's not a question. It's a statement. It's parallel to what we saw earlier. Hadag Grizamta, it employs the logic of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, that if the only time you say you make on the termusin, it's the same ukimta that's being made, the only time you make on the termusin is when you're going to have more pas. If you're going to have more pas, what does that do for you? Because it's now b'toch hasuda. Grizamta is davar shaba, it's not b'amachmas hasuda. It's not parparos pas. Grizamta is dessert. So what's the din about brachos on dessert, again, in a meal? What brachos do you make on dessert? Well, it depends. If you have dessert in the middle of the meal... No, because you can't wait to have the pecan pie. So then you say bracha rishona, but you don't make a bracha achrona. But if you have it after the meal, lachar asuda, what's the din? You make both a bracha rishona and a bracha achrona. So that's what the Yerushalmi is saying here, that the only time you make the bracha on the turmus, and you don't make it on presumably something that has a bracha achrona, like the Shivas Aminim, is when you plan to eat more bread. If you plan to eat more bread, by definition, it's called besoch hasuda. Your benching is going to pater everything. But if it's lachar suda, if you not have any more bread, then you have to make a bracha achrona on it, then you don't want to make the bracha rishona on the turmus. You want to make the bracha achrona on that. You want to make the bracha rishona on something that's going to require bracha achrona. Chaim?
Is there any priority at all given to what the bracha rishona is? In other words, like if you have a ha'is on a non-shavaminim fruit versus, you know, as well as a hadama here, when they both end up saying...
Right now, assume nothing. I know that's right. Going to be a big discussion in the Bavli, a big discussion in Yerushalmi. Right now, the Yerushalmi said nothing. The only thing that's, I think, is salient, is Eyal's point, is it sounds like hadama. Forgetting out which bracha you should make, it sounds like if you make hadama on a banana and there's an apple there too, the apple's patur. You don't make any bracha on the apple. Yeah. Okay, something which the Bavli goes out of its way to reject. What? Even if it is Shivas Haminim, forget what you're supposed to do. If you made it, it patters it. Right? No, in fact, if according to the Chacham and the Yerushalmi, no, there's no Inyan. If there's no Bracha Chrona going to be made, then we don't care that you make the Bracha Rishona on the banana and you're pattering the dates.
No,
according to Rishu and Levi, the agreement, the Chachamra Moda, only if you have a bracha achrona. If it's in the middle of a meal, they would say, lechatchila, you can make it on... Correct. If all you have, then lechatchila you're supposed to make on the Shiva Samina. Yes. Okay. Now, the Yerushalmi continues. Go ahead. Rabbi Gamliel. Elaine, the base Rav Yanai. There's a big difference between Elaine and Ilan. Ilan is a tree. Ilan are Eile, these. All right. So, Rabbi Gamliel Zuga visited Slak Gabe. It's very funny. Slak is a train, is a strange word. You have to study the Yerushalmi. It almost looks like somebody took Al, mistranslated into Hebrew to go up into, and then back translates into Slak. I don't know. It's interesting. It's his name. I don't know what it means. Yeah, I don't think he was one of a Siamese twin or something, but... All right. Slaik gabe ilain de beis Rav Yanai. He entered at their house, and what did he see? Chamas hon. It doesn't mean their mother-in-law. Chamas hon is a... Chama yasahon. He saw them. What were they doing? Now, that doesn't seem... So you notice that people... That there are interesting things about... Stories about people... taking Zasim and making bracha rishon and achron and causing other people to wonder. Okay, this is not the first story in this parak. In a completely unrelated vein, it's different people though. It's not Rabbi Yochanan. So he saw them taking olives. That's funny. They take a single olive. That's kind of funny, actually. All right, but still, I don't think this is a shail of shir. What? It was a big one, yes. Now, or they already knew that it was a beria. And they made bracha rishon and achron, and he was surprised. But Amar Lon. Amar Lon means Lahon. He said to them, "Va'avdein Kedain." We do this? And presumably, based upon the way the Yerushalmi is presenting it, it sounds as if he thought because they were going to have bread, it was a case where they were going to have bread afterwards, and he thought, what are they making a bracha achrona for? Meaning not like Rabbi Yabba, but rather like Rabbi Shua ben Levi. Okay. Shlach. I'm sorry, Rezeira Shlach. So he sent and asked a shayla to Rav Shmuel bar Nachman, and it seems like the answer he got back was that Rav Kahana, the name Ravina, said, okay, so he says that everybody agrees that if it's a new story, if there's a min shiva amongst them, Allahu Mavarech. Now the Yerushalmi doesn't explain, but I think it becomes clear from the continuation. It's again working Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi. Yeah. Interesting. That one second. No. Why? Eyal is saying very well, but I think he's wrong anyway. You laugh. I think that's a very serious point. He's thought of the other possibility, and it forced me to consider it seriously, abandoning my approach. In this case, I think it's not correct. Say what you said again. You more than you want me to repeat it. He's suggesting maybe the chiddush was not that they made a bracha achrona. The chiddush was that they were making the bracha dafka on the aleph, even though they had something else which was chaviv. And he was wondering about that. And the answer, and therefore the statement which follows is that kol amai modei dem yesh b'meim im shiva lav mumavarech. It's applicable in this case because there was no pasa afterwards. And now, I have two problems with that. Number one is the ikar chasam and asefer. In the same way we're going to see in the Bavli, in that story of whoever the two Amoraim were on the top of Amud Beis, that somebody showed him, say, why was the Kadima within Shiva Samin if you don't hold like Rabbi Yehuda? I say because neither was Chaviv. So the ikar was chasam. In that story, why didn't he just not assume that maybe he liked dates more than he liked an oven, right? So the answer is, it doesn't say that, right? And that's why would he, you know, the fact that the Gemara presents it that way implies that it had nothing to do with Chaviv. So in the same thing, I would say that point is missing, number one. Number two, why say Mevarchan La'acharav? Just say Mevarchan, Mevarchan Allah. Again, I'm arguing that it follows from really what's been being spoken about right before, which is we're not talking about multiple meaning. We're talking about the din of making a bracha achrona after things that are eaten before pas. Right? So then I understand mevarach lefanu ula acharav. That's the issue du jour. But what you're saying,
it's possible to say mevarach lefanu ula acharav. That's what showed him that he made the bracha originally on
his
diet and not something else.
But then why we see, in other words, ula acharav, somehow the Yerushalmi is emphasizing it should have been the answer to his question before he asked it.
But I mean, how do you read the answer that
was? Well, we're not finished yet. Hold on. The Gemara, the Yerushalmi hasn't finished commenting, and I think that further proves that. I mean, it doesn't prove this. One second. I mean, just be sure. Omar, look at the comment on it. Omar Rabbi Zira, go ahead. Vieus means what? It is good. Yaus, that's where the translation sometimes of Unklus has, I think, of Cain. Cain benoslav chadara dovros, meaning yeus or yaus. I mean, well. They've spoken well. Correct. Min man de anan. Go ahead. Chamion rabbonon. The reish yarcha. Okay. So in the conclusion of the statement is lo b'sheyesh b'dato lechol pas. Okay, so I would say the following. So Reb Zera says that really is correct. Kol amamode yesh b'nei shiva alof mavarech, and understood based upon the continuation was, if you're not eating pas afterwards. And Reb Zera says that would appear to be correct, because we see that the Rabbanon But that interpretation, Eyal, when that interpretation that everybody is moda depends upon what assumption? That you don't have to make a bracha achrona. Because if you have to make a bracha achrona after that which you ate, so then it doesn't really matter whether or not you're having pasta afterwards. It makes no difference. You're still going to have a machlokas in effect. No, I don't think so. I don't think so. I think the yer is used correct. And how do we know that? We see the chachamim go up to a reish yarcha, and again salkun. That's funny. It really is nichnasim. I'll talk about what reish yarcha is in a second. And they eat grapes and they don't make a bracha achrona. Now, what does it mean they don't make a achrona? It must be a case when they're going to eat bread. So, what do you see from that story? You see from that story of the chachamim entering to the reish yarcha. That they do not make a bracha achrona, that you don't need to make a bracha achrona on food that you eat before you start with the bread and the meal. You only make a bracha rishona. You don't need to make a bracha achrona. And what's that? It means that when you're not going to eat bread afterwards, when you're not going to eat bread afterwards, everybody agrees that you have to make the bracha on the min shiva. That thesis, that notion, that chiluk, that notion, the chacham amodeh, works only if you assume what? That you don't need a bracha achrona, and that's what Rabbi Zeira's diuk is. You see, you don't have to make a bracha achrona from what the Rabbanon do. The cute misleading thing is that what did the Rabbanon eat in the Reish Yarcha? They ate a min shiva, which was really not necessary. But maybe that's all they were eating before. Maybe they popped some grapes in, you know, before starting the meal. Now, what is a Reish Yarcha? Rosh Chodesh. So Rosh Chodesh party, it would appear to me, however, this is not referring to a Rosh Chodesh party. It's referring to something that's alluded to in the Mishnah in, I don't know why I think this, but I do, in Sanhedrin, in Ben Sora Umora, what?
It's not really the Yarcha Kala, is it?
No. No, Yarcha Kala is a Babylonian institution and probably a relatively later I don't know how late actually. I don't know if it's later or early Amoraic. I don't know. What? Well, I mean, it's certainly, I don't think it's not an Eretz Yisrael institution, so that's not what they're talking about. The Mishnah in Ben Sora Mora says that a Ben Sora Mora is only chayiv if he eats his tartim arbasar and log yayin in a sudas arashus. If he eats it in a sudas mitzvah, even though he's still gluttonous, he can't be chayiv misa for that. And one of the examples that brought is Achala B'Ibur HaChodesh. And apparently they used to have these little convocations with limited numbers of people, and they would have a sudas. Well, maybe after they had decided or something. You have to look in the Gemara there in Ben Saramara. And they would have the special suda. And there were things, you normally didn't even eat meat and wine in such a suda, but since it's a suda mitzvah, he's pater anyway. That's what I'm assuming Kisalkun L'Reish Yarcha means.
What about the...
What?
No, Yom Shaul makes the Rosh Chodesh.
Yeah, they certainly had that Sudas Rosh Chodesh.
And David's family, presumably, also.
No, but you see, that was a celebration of Rosh Chodesh. This seems to have been a celebration of the process of Ibur HaChodesh. That's my sense. I could be wrong, but anyway, Ben?
They had a Zevach for the Rosh Chodesh.
They certainly did.
So, like a fake festival.
Well, you have a Karban Mosef on Rosh Chodesh. Okay.
The Karban Mosef isn't the one that you're eating, though.
What's that? It's true, but it's a fundamental question. How could they have a zevach? Isn't it shkut echutz? The answer is harva shila. Okay. Anyway, shila was destroyed when the Plishtim took the earth. Okay. Anyway, fine. And so now the Yushalmi set finishes. Now, I love this kind of Yerushalmi. Occasionally, things do go from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael as well. So if you have multiple minim of Minei Shiva, Al Eze Mehen Hu Mevarech. Now, who is the Yerushalmi working with in here? The Rabbi Yehuda or the Rabbanon? This is the central question that animates the major machlokas, one of the, maybe the most major machlokas in our sugya in the Bavli. It's the very same question that could be asked here. Aliba, but except that it works better in the Yushalmi. It's simpler in Yushalmi than the Babli. The Yushalmi wants to know if you have multiple Minei Shiva, which one comes first? So you all know that the answer to the question is Mukdam Pasuk is Mukdam Lebracha, because you're Bavliophiles. So you all know what the Bavli says, and you all know what we accept, that you follow the earlier one in the Pasuk, and if you have, you know, if they're equal distance from Eretz, so then you know whoever's clever chap that was, that you go with the one that's closer to Eretz, not necessarily the one that's earlier in the Pasuk, unless they're equidistant, in which case, you know, you then take the earlier one in the Pasuk, which is, of course, interesting. That raises its own problems, because what's that? Chita and Sora, what is the relationship of those in this equation? It also raises, for the clever people, isn't Rimon closer to Eretz than Dvash is? Since
forwards or backwards?
What?
Yeah.
Rimon, yeah. Gefen Husena Virimon Eretz. Zeshem Dvash. Ah, who says? You don't call them Afreya. Okay. All right, anyway, so, but the Yushalmi, but I want to know for the moment, who's the Yushalmi asking this question for them? Does this indicate that the Yushalmi holds like Rabbi Yehuda? If after all, is this Akash according to the Rabbanan? Is the Rabbanan hold that when one min is Chaviv and one min is min Shiva, you choose the Chaviv over the min Shiva? So if you're dealing with two, why would you think that therefore one min Shiva has preference over another min Shiva, whichever is Chaviv to you? Okay, so you're buying into the Rif Rambam, Rabbeinu Shemaya axis position there. But however, you don't have to say that in the Yushalmi. Why? Because even in the Yushalmi, the Chachamim are moda. They are moda in some cases, if you're not eating bread afterwards, that you need to make on the Min Shiva. So it's possible, once the Chachamim agree that you have to make on the Min Shiva, and you are setting aside the principle of Chaviv, then perhaps there is a precedence or a priority in terms of which Min Shiva should come first. Now, you believe that, Shalom? You're shaking your head. I could sell you a used car missing 2.5 wheels. Not really. Because after all, if the whole principle, the way we explain the Yerushalmi, not great. I'm not even good at that. I have a friend who says that you just say something with authority and they'll believe you, just make it up. And if you're really lying, then you say it louder. Okay? So why is it that the Chachamim would say that you have to give Min Shiva priority over Chaviv when there's a Bracha Achrona? Either because you want to create a Bracha Achrona, or because you want the Bracha Rishon and the Bracha Achrona to be linked. Once you say that, if you have multiple Minei Shiva in front of you, then it doesn't matter anymore, because you're going to have a Bracha Achrona Mein Shalosh Miman of Shach, and the Bracha Rishon is going to be tied to the Bracha Achrona Miman of Shach. So you could kvetch the Terence that Eyal said, which is what the Rambam apparently reads the Gemara that way, and the Rif possibly, he doesn't say explicitly actually, and Rabbi Shmaya says explicitly, which is that it's a case where you don't have a Chaviv. So in a case where there's no Chaviv to you, then the Chachamim might be modet Rabbi Yehuda Bechlal, that Min Shiva Zadif. If you don't have a Chaviv, so why not do one on Min Shiva? Of course you could say the Yushalmi is asking only within Rabbi Yehuda. The reason why some would like to avoid saying that, at least more in the Bavli than the Yushalmi, is because if you present the formulation within the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, does that mean that you paskin like Rabbi Yehuda? Now, of course, it could be that none of the above applies here, because they're just quoting from the Talmud Bavli, and they're just quoting an interesting notion, and maybe it's only from Rabbi Yehuda, but the Yushalmi is not necessarily giving its imprimatur to Rabbi Yehuda's sheet. It's just they had a very interesting din that came from Bavel. Yeah? It says Kalakodam Lamikra Kodam Lavracha.
Right. Within Min Shiva. When you have a lot of Min Shiva.
Yeah, but according to the Chachamim, you should always make on a Chaviv. If you can make on a Chaviv, let's say you have Teina and Rimo. Okay? By the rule that's about to be introduced from Bavel, you make a bracha on the you make a bracha on the fig, not on the pomegranate. Let's say the pomegranate is more Chaviv to you. So what would the Chachamim say? Well, let's say if I have an apple and a fig. So then the Chacham say you make it on the apple, not on the fig, because Chaviv Adif. But if, even though the apple is not a Min Shiva, on the fig is. But if I have a pomegranate and a fig, where the pomegranate is Chaviv, and it's also a Min Shiva, it's just a little farther away from Eretz. You know, Tapuach is really far away from Eretz. You know, I don't know, where is Tapuach mentioned in Tanakh and Shirshir, maybe?
Yes.
Also in the city.
Don't say what I think you're going to say. You weren't going to say in the Birchas Yitzchak Yaakov, right?
No.
No, good. Okay, because that's only in the Medrash. What's that? Ksuvim? Where in Ksuvim? You have tapuchei zeha b'maschios kasef davar davar alafnav in Mishlei. Yeah, it's your shirim you have.
But that's actually, technically that's
I know in Mishlei you have, but it's tapuchei zeha b'maschios kasef. It's golden apples in silver
settings. Technically that's talking about the tree, not the fruit.
Anyway, the bottom line is tapuach is a very long way away from Eretz. Much further than and Rimon is. So why would the Chachamim say that you make a bracha on Teina before the Rimon if the Rimon's Rochav because it's close to Eretz? But again, I think the Rishonim's comment here is correct. If Tapuach takes precedence over Rimon over Teina for Chachamim, how can you say Rimon's not going to take precedence? Tapuach is not Min Shiva, but it's Chaviv. Rimon, in this case, we're saying is Min Shiva is Chaviv, and it's Min Shiva. Okay, so it's a little farther away from Eretz, but not as far as Tapuach. Okay. Now, what did they say? Okay, now I have to even discuss that. What did they say? What's that?
In
Yoel.
Ooh.
No, that's also the tree. Both of those Tapuach in Tanakh talk about the tree, not the fruit.
That's a tree. That I need to learn some Tanakh.
That's a tree. It says Kolatzei Asadeh.
Okay,
and in Shir it says
it's still farther away from Eretz than Rimon. Okay. So anyway, so what do they say in Bavel? Okay, who Jason finished? What do they say? When you see Taman Amrin in the Yerushalmi, it means in Bavel they say. Okay, so kalakodem lemikra, hodem lebracha, v'chalach samach laretz kodem lekol. They seem to know of this dialogue that takes place, or the outcome of the dialogue, where firstly, if something is earlier in the pasuk, it comes first. And the shaila was, why did he make a bracha on the tamar before the anavim? And the second step is kalakarav laretz kodem lekol. On top of that, even more important than being earlier in the pasuk is being closer to eretz. So something that's closer to eretz two than something a part of Eretz 1, but it's closer, so that gets priority. Okay. In the Yerushalmi, it doesn't bother me as much, even if it's within Shittas Rabbi Yehuda. In the Bavli, it's more interesting because it's the practice of the Amoraim. Okay. So, any questions so far in the Yerushalmi? A lot of questions, probably. You need to chazi the Yerushalmi. Okay. But I want to talk about the way... If you want to talk about avoiding all the problems in the Yerushalmi, not the problems of interpretation, but avoiding all the interesting shitos, you could look at the Baal Sefer Haredim. And if you look in the Baal Sefer Haredim, he offers an interpretation that I think nobody's going to buy, but it's worth noting how creative and brilliant minds can produce alternate interpretations of texts. I don't think this is pshat. If you look in the Baal Sefer Haredim, he says as follows: Kishahaya dado lechol pas klomer mas nisan beperos sheochlin lefnei suda kamo shenogim gam hayom beeretz Yisrael kadmonei haaretz hamista'aravim. I assume that's some type of Arabic word, something about the Westerners or people who act like Westerners or something, if it's not a Tosafot.
They Arabicize, no?
That's what I think. Yeah, but what is Arav? Western. Ma'arav.
In the northern
half of it. Yeah. But compared to Bavel, Eretz Yisrael is Maghrav.
So why do they call themselves?
I don't know why. If I assume it's the same word.
They were west from.
West from, I don't know what, India. But I guess it's part of it. Depends which part of Arabia. What's that? No, I don't want to. Why are they called? Why is it Arabia? Why is it Arav? It's west of something. Anyway, Bavel, I guess parts of it are. I guess Mecca and Medina certainly are, but not parts of the Arabian Peninsula are to the east of Bavel. Tribes, that's true. I'll probably close to Eretz Yisrael. Are you correct? Fine. All right, so anyway, so Ubaha Pligi, here, listen to this. Rabbanan Amre, Kevan de Pashu Rishon Lechol HaShiva, V'chashav Mikulam Shekoveh Abrach La'atzmo, nonetheless, Nidcha, it's pushed aside, meaning You don't have to make the bracha on the pas first. You make the bracha on the eitz. Sherei afa pishadato lo achlo, even though you intend to eat bread. Einu mevarech alavatam min aminak shenagu lechal aperos tchila. Segamish min beperos sheochlan ah. So the fact is, the most chashuv thing, and it's part of the shivas aminim, is the bread. And nonetheless, that we don't say that you have to eat the bread first. You're allowed to eat the hors d'oeuvres, the appet, whatever you want to call them, before the suda. And it means the bracha that you're making on those things, you know, be it ha'adama, be it ha'shahakol, be it ha'etzan, anan shivas aminim, is being doche, is having kedima over the bracha of hamotzi. So once you're doing that, so gam yesh min beperah she'ochlen ata min shiva acher yidoche. So you're not going to treat the fruits to be any more important. In other words, if there happen to be, you want to eat apples. That's your, you know, baked apple is going to be your first, you know, thing that your first hors d'oeuvre that you're going to eat. We're not going to say that you have to eat the dates first. If you don't have to eat the bread first, you certainly have to eat the dates before you eat the apple. Ella chaviv kodem. Yes, Chaim.
I mean, this is not fundamentally that. This part at least is not that fundamentally different than what Chaim Moshe is saying. In terms of why you'd be allowed to have say everything, I'd say any whatever you want first. I mean, you say that once again, these are fruits that are being introduced in order to stir up your appetite.
No. According to the Baal Sefer Charedin, the reason why you can make a bracha on anything you want according to the Chachamim is because it's not because there's no need to make a bracha on the Shivas Aminim Kodem. It's because of the special notion that you're being docha important species anyway to make a bracha on this first, namely the pas. If you weren't, again, according to the sheet that we didn't flesh it out, what would be the din if you're not eating pas? What's the din? Then you have to make a bracha on the Minshava first. Why? Because there's no pas afterwards that you're being docha in the first place. So that's why you have to make a bracha?
Yeah, according to him, the bracha achrona has nothing to do with it.
There's nothing to do with bracha achrona. Now, he has to explain how does it connect to the bracha achrona. So in the next Dibar Masri says, Tzorach Levarach Besof. Tzorach Levarach Besof means that effectively it's a separate meal. In other words, because you have to make a bracha achrona on it, it's not that the bracha on the apple is preempting that of the pas, therefore it preempts that of the date. No. Tzarech levarech b'sof. In other words, once you have to make a bracha achrona, so then you basically separate it from the pas, and therefore the chachamim would not. So again, if you're making a bracha achrona, according to Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi, once you're making a bracha achrona, the way the Baal Sefer Charedim explains, once you're making a bracha achrona, you're breaking it off from the pas. Once you make a bracha achrona. I say, once you're not eating pas afterwards, then you're not giving the apple kedima over the pas. So you can't give a kedima on the over the grapes of the dates either. Now, what does Rabbi Abba hold? He says this cannot be the hesbro, the machlokas according to Rabbi Abba. Rabbi Abba must argue to Shubha Levi why, because Rabbi Abba says that tzarech levarech b'sof. So by definition, the bracha on the apple is never preempting that of the bread, because you're making a bracha achrona. And since you have to make a bracha achrona, by definition, it would never be preempting, and therefore, that can't be the reason why the chachamim say, that you make a bracha on the, chadav, not on the min shiva. There must be a completely different reason. I mean, it's sharp, but I don't understand, because you're making it on the suda. I mean, I understand much more Rabbi Abba's position. That basically it's not part of the meal. But on the other position, just because it's taking kedima over the bread, it has to have kedima over the other peros. I think there are difficulties in the continuation also. When you look at the neck, does it work in the tormus piece? Will it even work in the tormus piece? I don't remember how he explains the tormus piece. In the case of the grizamta, you're not making any brach on pas afterwards. You're not making any bracha on pas afterwards. That it's taking kedima over. So why should the chachamim not be modeh that you have to make it on the min shiva? And what difference does it make whether you're having more pas or no pas? Unless you say that the grizamta is all of a sudden not in the middle of the meal. But the grizamta is in the middle of the meal. At least that's what everybody seems to understand. Not in the middle, it's a dessert. It's after you've eaten bread already. He's going to have to say, I don't know, does he say it? No, he doesn't explain. He just assumes it's the same thing as earlier, but it's not. It's not. Shlomo?
I mean, maybe I read the Basi Rechayim wrong, but because the pot is mitzvah, so then you don't have to have the brew.
You don't have to give kedima to a lower level min shiva when a higher level min shiva is not getting the kedima.
Yeah.
According, right. But in Grizamta, why in Grizamta? Why in Grizamta?
You have to
No, but what difference does it make whether you're eating pas later or not? You're not going to make hamotzi. No, because even if you're eating pas later, the reason why you don't make the bracha on the hamotzi, it's not because you made a bracha. It's not that the Grizamta got kedima, and that's why you don't make a. The point is, there's no bracha on the hamotzi on the bread that you eat afterwards because it's part of the suda.
No, I thought what he was saying was since you're eating something before the pot anyway, you're already getting rid of kedimah.
And it means that
you throw kedimahs out the window.
Correct, but in that case, once you're in the middle of the meal already, you know the possibility of introducing kedimah again should never be. You should always have to have kedimah because you're not making berachas hamotzi later that this bracha is having kedimah over that. There's no bracha rishon anymore on the bread. What difference does it make? But bedato lecho pas or ain't bedato lecho pas? Even when it's bedato lecho pas, you're not going to make hamotzi because it's part of the suda, and therefore you should still have to make the bracha rishon on the termusim. It's very difficult to read that in the middle. I really would say it's nachapella. Very, very difficult. What? He's not my Rebbe. Okay, different Rebbe. Okay, fine. Okay, so the bottom line, I think the Pnei Moshe's reading of the Yerushalmi is the much more intuitive reading. The only point I would see read differently is the piece about Lo Birich Basof Nasis Tfela, Lo Birich Nasis Tfela. But other than that, I think that's a simple reading of the Yerushalmi. And I think what Eyal's comment is relevant here as well. That is, it sounds from the Yerushalmi, from the Turmusin, that you make the bracha on Turmusin, that you are exempting the peros. In other words, when you make hadama on a banana, and you're patering not only the banana but the apple as well. And even though you didn't make the bracha of hadama directly on the apple, it doesn't matter. The bracha is kolelas. Now that means potentially for the Yerushalmi that one of the issues that floats in the background of the Mishnah is this idea that a bracha kolelas works even when it's not your intent. Meaning, according to the Yerushalmi, it might be that if you make a shahakol first, you don't make any other brachos on the food that's in front of you, and if you make hadama, you don't make any bracha on the foods that are in front of you, right?
Negative das.
I don't think they knew about that until the time of Vilna Gaon. Okay? I'm saying that all tongue in cheek, but that idea of I have in mind specifically to exclude it is a very relatively modern notion.
What does it mean if you have a spread of fruit and you say you have a shahako and a ha'adam and a ha'et and you say I'd like to make the bracha on the shahako first and then I'll make the others.
But if you thank God appropriately, shahakol ni'ebid varo, you thank them for everything there.
That's true.
If you thank him for bari pri'etz, you've only thanked them for those things that are pri'etz, right? Okay, so Ad Kan the Yerushalmi. Now we're not going to start the Bavli right now, but I want to just talk about a couple of things in the context of the Yerushalmi. What we don't know from, if Eyal is correct, and I think he is, then it would appear from the Yerushalmi that the Mishnah would be dealing with what if they were all one bracha, or even if. Was it Birchosei and Shavas or Afilu Ein Birchosei and Shavas or Dafke Ein Birchosei and Shavas? What would you say? I would say Afilu Birchosei and Shavas. They understand that the Machlokas is across the board. Mm-hmm. Okay, but a little differently than in the Bavli, we're going to see in the Bavli. In other words, the position of everybody might be that if you make the bracha kolalus first, you exempt everything. But Rabbi Yehuda holds still, you're supposed to make a bracha on the min shiva. Now, maybe according to Rabbi Yehuda, the result of that is you're going to make more brachos than you would. Whereas according to the Chachamim, if the lupine is more chaviv to you than the juicy grapes, then it's going to turn out you make only one bracha. That's the way it's going to be. Now, the Bavli obviously does not adopt that approach, but you sort of want to take all these possibilities into consideration when we approach the Bavli. And one of the things that I think emerges clearly from the Bavli, I don't know what emerges clearly from the Bavli. Okay, so when you learn the Bavli, for those of you who haven't finished it, we'll only talk a little bit more in the Bavli, purely in the Bavli, then when we spend most of our time dealing with the Rishonim. What I would recommend to you is the following. I may select some Rashbaz or Ritvaz, but for the moment in preparing, I would like you to look at the following. First, I want you to read all the Tosafim. The one thing you can skip is the stuff that deals with the Shirim. We may discuss that. There's only one particularly difficult passage, which is the Revius Yayim. That's the only very difficult one, but we'll read the Gemara, but I may or may not go deal with that Tosafot. It's really not our issue, and I don't want to get bogged down in it, so certainly not for now. But so you may be able to skip the bottom, I don't remember how many, what's that?
Yeah.
The Geffen.
Nazir.
Kedebrius Yayim and Nazir, right. It's a very difficult line. What?
You have to throw in the grapes and stems.
Well, one second. So you can skip the bottom two Tosafot, I know they're short, but start with the top four Tosafim, and then you can do the top two Tosafim on the Malapon base. They're short, okay? And then you should also look at Tosafos HaRash. There's only one really difficult point in Tosafos. Actually, don't even do Tosafos HaRash. Just do the Rush, actually. This one Simon deals with these issues. However, you could do Tosafos first if you want, but you need to do the Rif, okay? You need to do the Rif. If you do it may be useful to do Rabbeinu Yonah, but the Rush actually has much of Rabbeinu Yonah there. Okay? So I would really take, aside from the Rif, I would try to do Tosafos, the Rush, and Rabbeinu Yonah. Okay? In the order of Tosafos, Rabbeinu Yonah, and then the Rush. Do it actually that way. And that will be the starting point of our discussions. What's that? If you're a purist, do the Rif before you do Tosafos. If you're not a purist, you might see things, you find out issues to think about in the Rif after you've seen Tosafos already. And obviously, before you do that, make sure you've gone through the Gemara very well and think how the pieces fit together. Yeah, that's sort of obvious, but. Okay. Are there any questions? Okay.